You're listening to the Better for America podcast, presented by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rebecca Weber, and this is your AMAC podcast, Better for America. Today's show, I've got with me Andy Mangione. Andy Mangione, he is our national spokesman. He also runs AMAC Action, our advocacy arm of AMAC. And Andy, it's great to have you with me today because last time we were together, we had a blast at CPAC, didn't we?
Absolutely. Still thinking about that. Can't wait for next year.
Oh, yeah, that was a whole lot of fun. And Andy, I thought it would be really great to have you on to sort of update our listeners on what AMAC has done since the start of the year. We came out with this great annual report. I'm going to encourage people who want to know more about what we do to go to amacaction.org and download our 2020 annual report, because we did so much in 2020. AMAC is the conservative alternative to the AARP for those of you who are new to AMAC. And we are the fastest growing conservative organization in America. So we come to you each and every week. We give you updates on what's happening. But Andy, in a broader sense, you know, it feels like we're playing defense these days. There's so much that has changed over just such a very, very short period of time. And I'm excited to sort of dive into the issues with you. But I feel frustrated at times. And I think people who are listening can agree that there's so much frustration out there. I mean, what do you want to talk about first, right? Everything from the Major League Baseball games and what that's doing to Georgia, just a great state. I want to touch on that. I also want to hear about HR 1 and S 1, Andy, the things that AMAC is doing to make sure that our elected representatives, our senators, are aware that AMAC members are against HR 1 and S 1. We'll remind you what that bad, not for the people's bill really does. And then finally, I want to talk about the illegal migration. We're seeing so many young children come over, and I see so much hypocrisy from the left. It is out of control. And where the heck is Kamala Harris? Why isn't she down at the southern border? She was in California, for goodness sakes, over the Easter holiday, and didn't think to go down and, you know, visit the southern border. So that's an issue, I think, that is so near and dear to our membership. So, Andy, where do we want to start?
Let's start with the annual report. Just kind of a quick plug for it. It really recaps what we did in 2020. And there's such a stark contrast between 2020 and 2021. And you are right, we are playing defense in 2021. And I'll get to that in a second. But just wanted to let our members know, and people who are watching this podcast, if you want to know what you get for $16 a year to join AMAC for household, yes, you get world-class member benefits that we're constantly expanding, but you also get a voice in Washington. And the annual report really highlights what we did in 2020 through a tough year with the pandemic. It was one of our best years ever. I called it a breakthrough year in terms of what we got accomplished. Three pieces of legislation that AMAC supported were signed into law. We sent up over 78 letters of support on various legislation that our members wanted us to support. AMAC members were intricately involved in the final transparency rule. This was the hospital price transparency rule. AMAC members flooded the HHS website with comments on how to help them craft the final rule that would allow people, regular people, to shop for medical services. Now, these are the medical services that are chronic. This is not an emergent situation. Say you needed a knee replacement. Now you can shop for that knee replacement based on price and value. And AMAC members comprised over 80% of the comments that were left on the HHS website to help HHS craft that final rule, which became effective January 1 of this year. There's much, much more in the annual report, but I just wanted to give a quick overview about how active we were in a very trying year. And it
that
was
is great. You know, Andy, just to want to let folks know that, you know, it's definitely could not have happened without AMAC members behind us. It's so important. Yesterday, I was just speaking with Congressman Cliff Bentz from Oregon, and he asked me a great question. He said, you know, how do you know what to work on and how do you know what to do first? You know, because we were sharing all of our initiatives and what makes you want to fight to protect Medicare and Social Security. And I said, well, we take our marching orders from our members. And, you know, you folks, people that are listening, our AMAC members are so important in that when we go to Washington, when we speak with senators and congressmen, when we speak with those decision makers, they want to know how many people stand beside you, how many people are with you. And when we say we have nearly 2.5 million members, they listen, and we'll be able to do so much more when we can get to 5 million members, because there is strength in numbers. And, you know, we are the David versus Goliath story. I say that all the time, because we're up against another group, the AARP, that has tremendous clout, and they've got a really strong muscle in Washington, and it prevents sometimes us from being able to do as much as we can. 2020 was just phenomenal. AMAC members, boy, you folks really did an awesome job. And I think we got a lot more done than that other organization did. And we certainly got the right things done. So, I mean, just can't emphasize that enough, that membership is so important. You know, people were looking for groups to join, you know, when Obama was in office, and the Tea Party, we saw the whole Tea Party movement. People don't really need to look far. Join AMAC, because we are that group. We actually are doing the work in Washington. We're getting in front of our elected representatives, and we're speaking on your behalf. So there's so many ways that people can get involved. And I think let's share with folks, how easy is it for somebody who, let's say, in their area, they want to see improvement in their community. They want to have an impact on the election integrity in their state, for example, all of these issues that are important. How can we help them get things done?
Well, you know, they can go to amacaction.org if they want to get involved. We are constantly recruiting new advocates. That's one of our missions. We have over 311 AMAC members who serve as volunteer delegates. These folks go into a local congressional district office as a constituent first, and as an AMAC member second, and they augment what we do in Washington. They reinforce our stance on the issues. We work in concert with them to make sure that there is a consistent message. As I mentioned, these are volunteers. And a lot of our delegates, most of our delegates volunteer because they're looking for something to do, and it's a very satisfying job. They can also join an AMAC chapter. And again, go to amacaction.org, and all of the information is there. We describe the role of a delegate. We describe the role of a chapter leader. We will assist you. We have a whole team available to assist people in starting new chapters. And just a quick comment on the chapters, Rebecca. These are wonderful forums for AMAC members and like-minded people to get together and enjoy fellowship. They're with like-minded people. They learn about the issues.
It is fun. Yes. I love our national conference too. We ought to remind people, folks that are listening, delegates that are listening, chapter presidents listening, thank you. And we hope to see you at AMAC's national conference. When is that taking place again? That's in October, I believe. Do you have the dates, Andy?
I don't.
I know. Anyway, check our website, amacaction.org. We've got a great national conference coming up in October, and we invite our delegates and chapter leaders, and we encourage participation. It's a fun event. We've got some really cool people that will be showing up to speak. Folks like Diamond and Silk, I understand, will be the entertainment that one of the evenings of the conference. So, but there is so much people can do. And I think now more than ever, people want to get involved. And there's a great way. I mean, you folks put together a really great reference and resource library, like literally, how do I do a town hall? You go to your website and you have a toolbox there. So people can, use the talking points that we've put together, the PowerPoints, the informational sheets, AMAC stance on key issues that, if you want some deeper knowledge behind, you know, why we support or oppose a piece of legislation. So all of that is right there at amacaction.org. Even if you're not a delegate or chapter president, boy, you can learn so much just by going to that site.
And you know, I just wanted to underscore the fact that AMAC Action Advocacy is a benefit of membership in AMAC to go along with all of the other member benefits that we have. And our members find that very satisfying.
That's great. Really fantastic. So, Andy, I want to jump over to HR 1S1 because this is a big bill. We've been talking about it. I've been talking about it every week. I don't think that there's been a recording where I haven't said, hey, let me remind people how important it is that you're aware of what this bill is. It passed the House in Congress, right? HR1, its companion bill S1, now needs to go through its process in the Senate. And so a lot of people are hearing about the filibuster and they're trying to understand, well, what is that really? What does that mean? And if you can break it down in a very easy way for people to really understand, once a bill passes the House, it goes to the Senate. And when it reaches the Senate, there needs to be a majority of 60 of the 100 that say, yeah, this bill is something that we can vote on. Is that right?
Right. This bill is, first of all, let's call it for what it is. It's called For the People Act, but it's really the Corrupt Politicians Act. And I know that we've done a lot of talking on what this bill does. And just to remind our viewers, this bill would get rid of voter ID. It would remove state oversight from federal elections. It would literally or virtually eliminate any restrictions with vote by mail. There's a whole lot of bad stuff in here.
I mean, right there, they're talking about getting rid of voter ID. People just need to think about that for a minute. Like, let that really sink in. Imagine that. No voter ID. Matter of fact, states would be prohibited from asking for voter ID. Why do you think that is, Andy? Why do you think that the Dems love this bill and virtually every single one voted in favor?
They make it easier. It's easier to cheat, Rebecca. And
there's right.
So much to this bill. So it stacks the Federal Election Commission. There's so much, and this is all detailed on our website. So we have this. It went through the House on the party lines. Now it goes to the Senate, and the Senate is supposed to be the cooling chamber. It's supposed to be the reasonable voice of Congress. And what the Democrats are attempting to do with regard to the filibuster is in place to give a voice to the minority. In this case, there would be the Republicans are the minority in the Senate by a very slim margin. And there's talk about getting rid or temporarily suspending the filibuster so they could pass this bill on a simple majority vote. And if that happens, you know as well as I do that if the filibuster goes away for this one time, we'll never see it again.
That's right.
There's not only a debate in should S1 pass the Senate, but there's also a debate in should we get rid of the filibuster. And we've been very, very involved in saving the filibuster. And AMAC members have been very, very involved in voicing their opposition to their members of Congress and their members of the Senate and telling them, compelling them actually not to vote for S1. And if I could talk about, the campaigns that we've underway, Rebecca, I'm happy to do that.
Oh, please, because that is really great work. And for $16, when people join AMAC, again, what Andy's going to share with you right now, it's not just the magazine that you get and the access to discounts and member benefits, but you also are getting us to be able to be as actionable and take action. Listen to what our AMAC members did. Amazing.
And you've mentioned before that there's a lot of angst and frustration and anger out there. And our members
to
get involved. They certainly are, because they tell us and we listen to them.
That's right.
So we're currently, this campaign is currently ongoing. We have initiated a call to action among our members, the membership at large. This is a federal campaign to urge new members not to vote for S1. And for those more quote unquote reasonable Democrat members, the Kirsten Sinemas, the Joe Manchins, the John Testers, these senators that have already expressed a desire to keep the filibuster in place, we let them know, we sent them messages telling them, hey, thank you for your support of the filibuster. Please keep it up. But also, please do not vote for S1. So our members flooded the Senate, and keep in mind, there's only 100 of them, with over 122,000 emails telling them not to vote for S1 and to keep the filibuster in place.
Wow.
And this campaign is ongoing today. As we record this, we're going to be sending out, this campaign has gone out twice to the membership at large. We've zeroed in on those key Democratic states where we think there might be a more reasonable member of the Senate, the people that I mentioned, plus a couple more. And we're going to continue, and the campaign will go out again today to those people again to compel them not to vote for this and to keep up their steadfast support for the filibuster.
Yeah, support for the filibuster is important. And what we've seen, too, is so much flip-flopping by the left in major support of the filibuster when it benefited them and wanting to oppose the filibuster when it benefits them. So This is important. This is a rule that has been followed for over 100 years. Whenever there's big policy that we want, we don't want to just cram it through. There are thin, thin margins. I mean, essentially, Kamala Harris would be the deciding vote. So this is not the way to treat this big piece of legislation, over 800 pages. There's a lot in there. We break it down for you on our website. You really ought to take a look there. And, you know, when I speak about, you know, how this flip-flopping and the hypocrisy, it reminds me of a video that I saw of Kamala Harris. We're going to share it with our listeners right here.
Tell me what you think should happen next as far as the Trump administration is concerned with the family separation policy.
Well, they need to end this policy. It is unconscionable, it is immoral, it is wrong, and it is unnecessary. And I think that there is no question that it has become very evident to many, many people who have been watching the images that this is not reflective of who we are as a country. And it's got to stop, Ari. It's just got to stop, full stop. It's got to stop.
What do you think Secretary Nielsen should do at this point?
I think she should resign. I think she should resign. I think she is not equipped, based on her conduct, based on the procedures and the policies that she is promulgating. I don't think she is equipped to do the job the way that it needs to be done, which is that there should be values that are at play that are consistent with who we say we are as Americans. The government should be in the business of keeping families together, not tearing families apart, and not tearing children from their parents.
When we have children being housed in cages crying for their mommies and daddies, we know we are better than this. When we have women fleeing domestic violence and gang crime, and we do not give them a safe place to go, we know we are better than this. When we have over 2,000 children that right now are not with their parents because we separated them, because we took them from their parents, we know we are better than this. When we know that we have those 2,000 children crying for their parents and there is no plan for reunification, we know we are better than this.
When we plan to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
So, Andy, in that video, Kamala Harris, what she says is, elect me, and we're going to get every child out of a cage. Elect me, and the border crisis goes away. What Donald Trump is doing is disgusting. It's despicable. And she keeps talking about just watch the images, just watch the images. Now, everyone listening knows that Kamala Harris was, charged with overseeing the border crisis, and she has not given, it's over 2 weeks now, she has not given a single press conference. She has not visited the border. I said it to you earlier. She was just down there. She wants to ignore the problem, and it's worse than it ever was. I've read, we haven't seen these kinds of numbers in decades. This is a national crisis. This is a major problem. This is not just a challenge, and it's gotten so much worse, so much worse. So, in another video, Andy, she talks about how Donald Trump's Secretary of Homeland Security was not equipped to handle the migration process and was doing a terrible job and should step down. So it's double talk. And people are smart, people hear it, and people understand it. And we play the video not to be mean and poke fun, but to show the absolute hypocrisy. You cannot say one thing and believe it, and then do another and expect to be trusted, expect to have credibility. You lose all of that. It goes right out the window. So I think the Biden administration is really hurting themselves by ignoring the problem at the southern border. Andy, your thoughts on this?
Well, Rebecca, this is the height of arrogance, and it's the height of hypocrisy, as you mentioned. This is a self-inflicted wound
that the Biden
has brought upon this country. This is deliberate. You've got U.S. senators at the border trying to take pictures of what's going on there, and members of the Biden administration or the Biden staff interfering with them so they can't take these pictures back home and put them on social media or share them with the general public. Kamala Harris is a heartbeat away from the presidency. And with this president, this could be sooner rather than later that we have a president, Kamala Harris. I talk about the angst and the frustration. This is just insult piled on top of insult to the American people. And they're insulting our collective intelligence. Everybody realizes that we have a crisis at the border, that this crisis was manufactured. We're seeing a stark contrast between the two policies and the two administrations. And now that we hear, that Biden may continue building the wall or continuing partial construction of the wall. They are all over the road here, but make no mistake, this is a deliberate act. The American people know it. They're not going to let this administration get away with it. In the meantime, you have children, unaccompanied minors, suffering down at the border. You've got teachers rushing down there to teach them in person, but not teach, teach our children in America in person due to the coronavirus pandemic. This could not have been handled any worse. The optics for this are so bad that the Biden administration, is doing everything they can to make sure that nobody sees pictures from there.
Yeah. And people are seeing this. I mean, you can't escape it. Even channels like CNN are saying, come on, why aren't we doing anything about this? Because the problem is bad. And here's what's happening. People are good people, people with kind hearts, many of whom are Christian people, are being now approached, Christian groups, associations, churches, private schools, and they're asked to step up and volunteer and take care of thousands of these children that have no home, no family here. They came with no relatives. This is a real problem. People say this isn't true. This is absolutely true. We just have to pay attention, and more information is going to come out. If people go to our website and check out the content on our website, AMAC is building out a tremendous group of real, what I call journalists and writers and fact seekers and fact checkers, the real ones that are putting out the truth in news. And you're going to see a lot more come to your inbox in our newsletter, in our daily newsletter. If you're not subscribed, get it, because we don't bombard people with ads. We're not charging you to download our newly released AMAC News app. If you go to your app store on your smartphone and you simply search AMAC Inc., you'll see a red icon that comes up. Download it because it's great. We've got tons of stories, and we are going to bring to you the truth on what's happening at the southern border. It is out of control. It's a sad, sad thing. It breaks my heart. I'm a mother. You're a father, Andy. I mean, when you see these children, these toddlers being tossed over walls, you see a 9-year-old boy crying because he has enough wit about him to understand that he should not be out there in the dark alone and that there are real threats. There are bad people in the world, and these children are so vulnerable. And, when Kamala Harris speaks about how bad it was under a Trump administration and literally ignores her very responsibility to address it, and she owes it to us, the American people, and she ignores it, it's beyond unacceptable. And she should be impeached over that, but we won't go there. I got all kinds of, frustrations that build up. I think we all agree. So now we hear from the administration. So they act like there's no border crisis problem, right? They minimize the fact that children are still being kept in cages, only more children that are being sort of piled up on top of one another. And the photos show this, folks. And, it's the reality of things. They're spinning lies when it comes to the MLB's decision to move their game from Georgia. And so, Andy, you write often for us, and you're familiar with the issue. This is going to hurt Georgia. And people need to be reminded that Georgia, the great state that Georgia is, I believe, we're about 90%. A black population. Is that right? I don't know if I have that statistic exactly right.
The statistics, the black population is greater than the white population in Atlanta. Okay. And this is borne out by 2019 Census Bureau statistics. Okay. I love baseball. I've always loved baseball. Baseball games relax me. They relax everybody. We're trying to get back to normal in this country. We couldn't go to baseball games last year. Now they're opening it up with some pod seating, and people are desperate for a semblance of normalcy. And going to a baseball game on an afternoon. Yeah.
We want to watch our baseball game. We don't want politics in baseball or in sports. But when I mentioned the fact that Georgia, the demographics there, what I'm trying to really point out is that we want to, and this comes out of the left all the time. They consistently talk about equal opportunity and equality and leveling the playing field. Well, folks, the people that are going to be really hurt by this are these Georgians, these small businesses, these minorities who were all excited and ready and waiting to see more business come in, because now we're going to have this great event, and that's going to generate revenue. That's going to keep our economy humming. And what do these folks do? What are these, I call them elites. What do they do? Because they act like they're thinking for all people, and they're thinking for such a small, select few number of people, really, they decide that they're going to move the darn game, and they're going to move it to a place that has equal voting laws in place or extremely similar. I mean, so what is their point? What is the message that they're really trying to send? Is there another reason? That stupid, you know? And this is ridiculous. And so it's just more hypocrisy. It's more lies that we're hearing coming out of the left. And for Biden to back up the decision, to me, is just despicable.
Well, Rebecca, Biden actually was cited in Major League Baseball Commissioner Manfred's decision to move the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. Yep. Okay, so... So Biden, in effect, owns this boycott, if there is a boycott of baseball. And that $100 million in revenue that those Georgia's businesses were going to see, particularly in Cobb County, because that's where the baseball stadium is mm-hmm. gone. And the majority of those businesses were owned and operated by minorities. And so they shift the game to Denver that has voter ID, just like Georgia, and actually has less in-person early voting than the new Georgia law says. Okay, that they just passed. I don't see, I mean, this is the commissioner of baseball wading into politics, dragging our national pastime into politics, and then instantly stepping on a rake and hitting him square in the face with this. Yeah. I don't know what kind of message he's trying to send, but again, the optics on this look horrible, and this was inspired, and this was supported by the Biden administration, and it's not good for baseball, and it's certainly not good for America.
Yeah, I think it's going to come back to bite them at some point in time. I think people can connect the dots and say, you know, people with power in high places are making decisions, and they're selling it to us like a, you know, it's not what the American people want, and they're spinning it and using language to sort of, you know, manipulate people into thinking that this is a real legitimate reason to move a baseball game. It is stupid. It's dumb. It's, it's a shame that this is where our country is going. And I think it was McConnell who said, if I owned a major corporation like that, I certainly wouldn't be alienating millions of Americans now, because you're inserting your political opinion in things. It really is a shame. But in any event, we'll focus on some happier thoughts. Coming up, Andy, we've got so much that we're doing, AMAC Action, that is. And let's talk a little bit about our 2021 sort of future agenda and our plan for 2021, because I've mentioned it, I've shared with people before. They say, well, what is it exactly that you stand for? And we have all of that on our website, but the issues that we're really working on remain certainly election integrity. And this sure. is why, again, HR1, S1, we've got to stop that, because that will have a very negative effect on future elections. Matter of fact, I don't think we'll ever be able to vote a Republican or conservative president again with the passage of S1. That's how concerned I am. And that's real possibility. It does so many bad things. But election integrity being one of our issues, we've got a plethora of other issues that we're focused on. So why don't you share some of those?
Sure. If I could just drill down election integrity, sure. Our members put that on our legislative agenda for 2021 elections. Yes. We poll them, we listen to them, and they drive that legislative agenda. So in effect, they placed it on there for us. And we realize that this battle is going to be fought at the state level. And what we've done, we've been very effective so far. We had a success in Kentucky. AMAC members flooded the Kentucky Senate with phone calls telling them to support their election reform legislation. It passed the Senate with amendments. It passed the House with amendments and is now sitting on the governor's desk. The governor is expected to sign it. But even if he doesn't, and I mentioned that because Kentucky is currently a divided government. They have a Republican legislature that is veto-proof, and they've got a Democrat governor. They don't really work together that well.
I bet.
He's expected to sign it because it is a bipartisan bill. But if he doesn't, it becomes law after a certain amount of time. So when that becomes law, we will certainly put that on our website. AMAC members were instrumental in getting that passed. We've also sending working in Arizona. There are a number of wonderful election reform initiatives that they're being discussed right now because the legislature is still in session there. We're talking several election reform measures that are being considered and voted on as we speak. AMAC members were very vocal in their support with the Arizona legislature, sending over 6,400 emails to members of the Arizona state legislature telling them to support this legislation. To put that into perspective, if you're in a state like California or New York, you're used to being solicited by people, asking them or telling them how they should vote. But in states, other states like Arizona, that doesn't happen. 6,400 emails to the state legislature gets your voice heard.
Now, it has an impact.
Yes. Yeah, it does have an impact.
It sure does.
Yeah, so we're fighting on the state level, in addition to all the work that we're doing on the federal level with HR1 S1.
Excellent. Well, I know that's just one of many, many issues that we're working on. We'll be fighting to protect your Social Security, certainly on the healthcare front, to protect your Medicare. AMAC is working to make sure that all of our liberties and our rights are protected. So much more to come. Information available on our website. Andy, this was great. It was great seeing you. Great catching up with you. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today, and look forward to having you back in just a couple weeks.
My pleasure, Rebecca. Thank you.
Excellent. And to everyone listening today, thank you so much for joining us on AMAC's podcast, Better for America. And we look forward to having you back with us again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Better for America podcast. To learn more about AMAC and all it has to offer, visit us at www.amac.us.